Today we'll be reading from Luke 24, verses 44 to 49. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "So it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high."
Thank you. Children and Youth Sunday is always a fun time, isn't it? Didn't they do a great job again today? Yes, yeah, so it's always great to see everybody participating in all the different aspects of the service. And it's great that we can have the ministries that we have to the children and the youth, and we minister to all ages here at New Hope, as you know. To begin with, as you also know, that every time we have Children and Youth Sunday, we kind of do what I normally would like to do every Sunday if possible, and maybe I could try that. But I like to engage a lot more than what I typically engage with. I like to be somewhat engaging all the time, but on Children and Youth, I really like to be engaging and like to get people involved and like to get responses, because I don't know if anybody, is anybody here preach? Anybody else here preach? Or is anybody else here preached? Okay, we have one. Okay. Anybody else here taught? Stood in front of people for any purpose at all? Yes. Now, when you do that, you kind of try naturally, you read facial expressions, right? You read body language. You're trying to gauge if it's really getting through or not. And I got to tell you, it's a cultural thing, because here in the United States, it's pretty easy for the most part. Now, I've been wrong before, engaging it at times where I thought, man, they weren't paying attention at all. And then afterwards, they tell me everything I said. It's like, oh, looks like I've been wrong before. It's wrong. But over in Eswatini, Swaziland, where we have our sister church, their culture is much different. They worship incredibly. They worship very loud. Their worship goes on forever. It goes on for about an hour and a half before you even get to the message. But then during the message, it's just kind of this. The whole time, they just stare at you. No nodding, no agreeing. You're kind of, anybody, am I offending somebody? Is something happening here? So that, I like to gauge that a lot. I like to engage the people. So especially on Children and Youth Sunday, I really want to get everybody involved, because I want to make sure everybody stays awake. That is my goal every Sunday, by the way, is that everybody stays awake. I do the best I can to do that. So to begin with, I think everybody pretty much knows. If you've been here for Children and Youth Sunday before, you know where I'm going to start. You know where I'm going to begin. And I know Brenda's over there. So Brenda, why don't you come on up? You knew that was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen. So come on up. Give Brenda a hand, our youth director. She teaches middle schoolers and high schoolers, and she's been doing it what was it? It was FDR was in office, I think, when you started. Or not? No, sorry. No. I was talking about how experienced she was. You guys took it the wrong way. Now, Jen slipped away, I believe. She was passing out the clipboards. Jen. Everybody call Jen. She's not here. Yeah, we can. Yes, we can do it. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. Jen Knoll, is Jen around? She's in her office. Well, yeah, go tell her boss would like to see her. Well, I'm scoring points today, aren't I? This is great, isn't it? I'm going to have to run out of here by the time this is over. Okay, so while we're waiting on Jen, if you could possibly get, I don't know, two or three volunteers of the people that you currently teach, okay? Two or three volunteers to come up and join you. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, oh, hey, they don't have a choice. If they call you, if you call them out, they'll come up. Yes, trust me. They, Grab one of them. You have to at least have one of them. Go ahead. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, it looks like they're interested. Yeah. Yeah, I think they are. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Maybe one that starts with B, maybe.
A girl that starts with B.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so this is what you guys are going to do. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to do this, okay? Since Jen's not here, maybe we'll work something else out with her later or something like that. So it's all going to fall on you today, Brenda. So what you guys are going to do, you're going to huddle over here for a minute, and I'm going to give you permission to talk in the middle of the message. And what you're going to do is you're going to talk about, oh, hey, all right, great. Okay, I need you to choose 2 to 3 people, volunteers of people that you teach. Did you see those hands? She's like, ah, here we go. All right, come on down. All right, so what you guys are going to do, you're going to huddle up with your group over here, Jen, and Brenda's going to huddle up with her group over here. You're going to talk during the message. What you're going to discuss is the most exciting thing. You're going to ask each person, and you're going to come up with the most exciting thing that has happened to any of you this morning. Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? Because I know, right, that you were thinking about, oh, it could be this. No, this morning, the most exciting, and I'm talking about something that's going to have to make somebody go, wow, that's a big deal. Okay? All right, huddle up, do the best you can. All right? All right, so as we're talking about this passage here in Luke, this is coming to the end of Luke's gospel. And here at the end of Luke's gospel is when Jesus is giving the disciples the final instructions, and he's unveiling, he's letting them know that this is the truth that has happened, and he's telling them, he opened up their minds so that they could see the scriptures. And he's while opening up their mind to see the scriptures. So if we back up and look at these verses for a moment, he says, he tells them in verse 44, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So Jesus is reminding them. That's what I love the most about the last chapter of Luke, is that he's reminding them of what they already knew, which was the purpose of why Luke even wrote his letter in the first place to the guy by the name of Theophilus, when he said, I write these things so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have already been taught. And you've heard me say this before, but this is something that I think can never be repeated enough. That is that usually we don't need to be taught anything new. We just need to be reminded of what we already know. Now, there's exceptions, of course, but usually it's just a matter of being reminded of what we already know. And how many times have you had to be reminded about God in your life? How many times have you had situations come up in your life where a friend, a good friend or somebody would remind you of the truth of God and remind you that, hey, why are you doubting God this time? Because we have a tendency to do that, don't we? We have a tendency to doubt God. We have a tendency to question God, but we need to be reminded. So that's what this passage is about. The whole thing is about reminding them, don't you remember what I said when I was with you? And this is after the resurrection, which is making this very exciting. Okay, you guys ready? You suppose. Okay, you're ready. And are you guys ready? Okay, which group wants to go first? Okay, so this is what you're going to do, okay? The next part of this, the next part of this is when you guys come out, you're going to choose one of them that is the best, okay? And that person is going to state what that is, and maybe, I'm sorry, we need a mics down here, sorry, Bob. And then when they do state it, the rest of you are going to respond with shock and awe that you cannot believe what just came out of their mouth. You think you could do that? Okay, all right, if you guys are ready, you guys ready? Come on up, come on to some front center, front and center, front and center, front and center. The most exciting thing that happened to you today, And then we're going to see the response of shock and awe. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
I got iced coffee this morning.
What?
Okay, let's just try that a little bit more. You guys are doing okay, but you can do a little bit stronger. I've seen you guys have a lot better shock and awe. So let's get really shock and awe, okay? I'm talking passed out shock and awe. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
I got iced coffee this morning.
All right, let's give them a hand. Good job, guys. Okay. All right, who's the one here? All right, front and center, right over here. You guys go have a seat. Yes, 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 you're done. Yes, go away. Okay. Ready? One, two, three.
I sing worship.
Very good. That was pretty good. You guys did a good job. You don't even need any more coaching. Great job on that. Good. All right, so now the reason is that have you ever had something like that happen where it was a big news and you were shocked and you couldn't believe it, you're amazed, whatever it might be, and that's what's happening in this passage. If we continue with this passage, we look at verse 45, he says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now I want you to stop right there for a moment and put yourself in the position of the disciples when Jesus is saying this to them. They've been confused. They didn't know what was happening. Jesus died, and now he comes back, and they're still wondering and they're doubting. Is he real? Is he not? Did Jesus really rise? And then Jesus explains to them, this is why all this had to happen. I explained this to you while I was with you before the crucifixion. I told you all about this. He opened up their minds so they could see the scriptures, but then he tells them, you are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of what? You are witnesses of the Messiah coming. You are witnesses of the Messiah performing miracles. You are witnesses of the Messiah being tortured. You are witnesses of the Messiah being crucified. You are witnesses of the Messiah rising from the dead. What he's really trying to get across to the disciples is this. I don't think you guys get this. This is a big deal. This is an exciting deal. This is a shock and awe, passed out deal. Do you understand who you are? You don't even understand what's happening. You're the disciples. You saw all this happen, and you are witnesses of these things, which is amazing, isn't it? And then he tells them in verse 49, as we talked about before, he says, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So he's telling them that you are witnesses of these things, but I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come. You are witnesses of these things, but you're going to go and wait for me to move. Now, the idea of them being witnesses means what? When we get into the book of Acts, chapter 1, which is the second book that Luke wrote to the same person by the name of Theophilus, it opens up in Acts chapter 1. He gives more details about the ascension before the disciples. And he tells them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will be my witnesses. Now, I don't know, in family, children, youth Sunday, we always talk about parents and everything. So, parents, raise your hand, please. Everybody who here is a parent, raise your hand. Okay, parent, have you ever asked your child to do something? And let me take it a step further. Have you ever asked your child to do something and they didn't do it? Have you ever changed your language after it was in request form to demand form, right? Where you say, could you do this, please? No, I'd rather not. I'm not going to do it. I don't think you understand. You are going to do this. Did you catch that language Jesus gave to the disciples in chapter 1, verse 8? You will be my witnesses. You don't have a choice. Sorry, you're stuck, you're in. No way out. You will be my witnesses. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, he comes back to this, and he's talking about them, and he's saying, you guys are the ones that experience this, and you guys are the ones that's going to carry the message of who I am to the entire world. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, Cappadocia, and to the ends of the earth. You are the guys. You're the one that's going to do it. It's on you now. You will be my witnesses. Why? Because you were the ones who witnessed me. You witnessed my preaching. You witnessed my teaching. You witnessed my crucifixion. You witnessed the fact that I rose from the dead. You just came and you saw that I'm real. You are going to be it. You're going to carry the torch. It's amazing responsibility, isn't it? Especially when you think about it, right? I don't know if anybody has ever asked you to carry a torch before, or if anything has ever been passed on to you that you were supposed to take care of. Or if a position was passed on to you that you were replacing somebody else and you were somewhat taking the torch, I would bet that whatever that would be, it's probably not near the capacity of carrying this torch. Right? Because this is Jesus, who is God, and God is telling you, you are carrying my torch. Think about that if you were told that. Think about that just for a moment. Yeah. God, here, Jesus is telling them, hey guys, I'm leaving. Here's the torch. It's yours now. It's no wonder that when he ascended in Acts chapter 1, that they didn't want to accept the torch. Did you notice that? They didn't want to accept it. How do we know that? They didn't want to accept it because they said, Jesus, hey, Jesus, before you go, is the Father going to, is he going to restore the kingdom now? Is that the kingdom? And it's not for you to know when that's going to happen. And then he leaves. You kind of miss the boat again. I'm not talking about when the kingdom's going to be restored. I'm not talking about when you're going to have your position in the kingdom to Israel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that the message that I have given you, the message you have been witnesses to, you are carrying it to the ends of the earth. That's what I'm about. And if you look through the rest of the book of Acts, what do you see? That's exactly what you see, because that's exactly what's happening. They are telling everybody possible about Jesus. And when we get to Acts chapter 4 is where we have what I would call the perfect church. The perfect church. Nobody claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but everyone shared amongst themselves as everybody had need. The perfect church. I've had discussions with that, somewhat debates sometimes with other ministers about that passage. And some have told me that, well, that's not possible, you know, because we've all fallen, we're all in sin, and you know, you can have spurts of goodness, but eventually badness is going to come in and it's going to destroy it. But I kind of fall on the side that I believe it's possible. I believe we can have an Acts 4 church today. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit of Jesus. I mean, why not? If they could experience it, we could too. So that's kind of my goal. That's kind of the way I see things is that hey, you know what? I don't want to stop short. It's the same with my life. I don't want my life to fall short of pleasing God. I don't want to say, well, you know, I'm born in sin, so it makes sense why I did that. So sorry, but you know, that's just the way I am. No, I never want to do that. I'm always looking for how can I be better? How can I be that person that God desires me to be? Because we see that it's possible throughout the scripture, not just individually, but also in the church. Because individually, we see Stephen doing that, Stephen being stoned, and yet he showed nothing but the love of Christ while he was stoned for something he didn't even do. Which means you and I can do the same thing, and as a church, we can do the same thing, and we can be that perfect church that God desires. And I think that sometimes our issue is that, well, I'll never get there. I can't be that. Nobody's perfect. Well, but with God's help, we're supposed to be able to. So we get back to this whole witness idea. So he tells the disciples at the end of Luke, he says, you are witnesses of these things. And then in the book of Acts, he says, you are the ones, you are going to be my witnesses. Now, I'm going to read some minds today. I always try to do that. As I said at the beginning of the message, I always try to guess how you're thinking or what you're thinking. But I'm assuming that someone, maybe not just one, maybe a few, maybe a handful, maybe everybody, I don't know, but at least one, children and youth possibly as well, you might be out there thinking, children and youth, raise your hands, please. Okay, just want to make sure you're still awake. Adults, raise your hands, please. Okay, let's do that again. The adults did much better at raising their hands. You know what the children and youth did? They're like, let's do that again. Children and youth, raise your hands, please. Give me a real raise. There we go. Okay, a little better. Instead of going up, now we're going in. Okay, just, right, so okay. Make sure everybody's awake. So children and youth, here's my question for you. Okay, have you ever thought this? Have you ever read scripture? Maybe it was your parent. Maybe it was your teacher. I don't know. Maybe it was a crazy thought. Maybe it was something your pastor said. That had to do with being like Jesus. And have you ever in the back of your mind, maybe you didn't verbalize it, or maybe you did verbalize it, have you ever in the back of your mind said, yeah, but, you know, he was Jesus, though, right? He was the Son of God, right? I'm not the Son of God. I'm not Jesus. You know, you can't expect me to be like Jesus. I mean, he's the Son of God. I'm not the Son of God. And not only that, but maybe in the back of your mind, or maybe verbally, maybe you've said before, and besides, okay, I mean, I'm not the best, right? I'm not perfect, but I'm certainly better than. And I think the chuckles are coming because that's not just for children and youth, is it? Yeah, that's adults. We fall into that category, don't we? Have a measuring stick, you know. Well, maybe I'm not exactly like Christ, but I'm better at being like Christ than they are being like Christ. I mean, it may not be the most loving person, but I'm more loving than they are. I may not be the most forgiving person, but I'm more forgiving than they are. I may not be the most humble person, but I'm more humble than. And the list goes on, doesn't it? So we have these disclaimers and we have these excuses. And so my guess is that some of you, children and youth, as well as adults, might be thinking about this passage the same thing. You might be thinking about, wow, what a responsibility for them. Wow, those disciples, they got to do it. Whew. Man, glad it's not me. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? It is you. Oh, come on. I didn't live 2,000 years ago. I never met Jesus face to face personally. I didn't follow Jesus. I didn't have anything to do with the crucifixion. I didn't witness his resurrection. I didn't witness his return or his ascension. I mean, it makes a lot of sense that they would do this because they were with him, they saw it, they experienced it, and if I would have saw it like them, I could understand it, but I didn't see it like them. That was 2,000 years ago. I mean, yeah, I have the Bible, but you know what? They really had this strong connection with Jesus. So my question to that, my response to that, I should say, is, okay, is that really true? Let's just stop and think about that for a moment. The experience that any of you have had with Christ, is that any less than the experience the disciples had with Christ? My guess would be the answer is no. Because what does Scripture teach us? Well, it's all over Scripture, but we have what? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means it's the same Jesus that they encountered is the same Jesus that we encounter. And when he said, I'm sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit comes on them. That was the Spirit of Jesus. Basically, Jesus without a body is what the Holy Spirit is. The Spirit of Jesus is flowing, and it has not stopped flowing since then. It is still here. It is still among us. And you begin to think about how people looked at God before. And I want you to think about this. Children, youth, raise your hands. You still awake? Everybody still awake? Okay, she's awake, but she's leaving. Good, okay. But I want you to think about this. You know, you go back to the Old Testament, right? You go back to the Old Testament, and you have this whole situation. You have Adam and Eve, and they're close to God. They're connected to God. They're talking with God. They're with God every day. I mean, it wasn't even, if you would ever go up to Adam and say, hey, Adam, why are you doing what God says? He wouldn't even understand the question. He'd be like, what do you mean? That's just what I do. That's like breathing. Adam's breathing was like being obedient. Nobody ever had to tell Adam to be obedient and say, hey, name the animals because God said so. Oh, I don't want to name them. No, that didn't. No, it was a strong connection, right? This strong connection. So I wonder before the fall what it was like when Adam and Eve prayed, when they would pray to God. Or was it even prayer? Did they even call it prayer? Did they have to set aside time in the morning to pray to God? Or did they have to find out when God was going to be available? Or no, it was just kind of this ongoing, God's there, they're there, and there's just this amazing connection. And then the fall happens. And then when the fall happens, we have this horrible separation that takes place. And then throughout the Old Testament, everyone's trying to get in touch with this thing called God. Everybody wants to talk to God. But God's not talking to everybody. He's only talking to certain people, and he's only talking through certain people. So you have prophets that would represent God. And so you would wait outside the door of the cave of a prophet to hear a prophet come out and actually tell you what God says. I want to hear what God has to say. Well, the prophet's not coming out today. Oh, I got to wait till tomorrow. I have no idea what God's going to say. Waiting. So after the fall in the Old Testament then God is way up there somewhere. We can't get in touch with him. How do we find God? I don't know. He's up there somewhere. The only thing I know is the prophet. And then we have the priest. And then we have, and the priest will represent us. And there's the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. But you're not allowed in there. So we have this whole, God's way up there somewhere. So then we have this amazing story all of us celebrate it every Christmas. What's the amazing story we celebrate every Christmas? Anybody? Children and youth only. Please answer. Anybody? Please get it right. Every Christmas, I'm making this as easy as possible. Some children and youth, please shout it out. Yes. Jesus was born. Very good. Give her a hand. Okay. Jesus was born. We celebrate it every Christmas. So Jesus comes down to earth. He's born. It's a different manifestation of Jesus coming amongst us and walking amongst us. And Jesus is born. And we have 33 years of his life, 3 years that he's in ministry. And so all of a sudden, at least for some, maybe not for all, but at least for some, God isn't up there anymore. God isn't over where I have to talk to a prophet or a priest. But at least for some, where's God? Oh, he's right here. Hey, God. How you doing, God? Yeah. At least for some. Not for everybody, but at least for some. God's right. Hey. There's God. I thought he was up. No, he's right. That's God. What about the prophet? No, don't worry about the prophet. You don't need the prophet. He's right. What about the priest? Don't need the priest. Why? He's right. There he is. So, my goodness, if that would happen to any of us, at least I would guess. I mean, I'll tell you what I would do. If that would happen with me, I pretty much would just say, hey, if that's God and it's proven that this is God, he's not up there anymore, he's not over here, not a priest, not a prophet, but he's right here. I don't have to go through anybody else. He's right here. Hey, if he leaves, guess what I'm going to do? Yeah, I'm going to go right behind him. Why? It's God. He's not up there anymore. So we have the disciples walking with Jesus, walking with God in the flesh. And the amazing thing about the disciples were, talk about people that got close to God, right? You hear people talk, getting close to God. These guys were close to God, and they didn't even know it for 99% of the time that they were close to God. They knew what God's personality was like. They knew what God's tone was. They knew how God preached. They knew how God teached. They knew what his hobbies were. They knew what he liked for breakfast. They knew when he liked to get up. They knew when he liked to go to bed. These guys were close to God. They were with him 24/7. In fact, the disciples were with Jesus so much, and this is a Chad interpretation, the disciples were with Jesus so much
that Jesus had to spend time in the mountains. They're not getting it. I need some time by myself. Let me go pray. And that's how they experienced God. And then, as we already stated, we get to the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of Jesus comes and fills everybody. And we have an incredible experience. And by chapter 4, we have the perfect church. And we have 3,000 people getting saved in one day. I mean, this exciting movement of Christ is everywhere because of them being witnesses. So we go back to the Old Testament. And we have, before the fall, we have God and Adam and Eve. There's a strong connection. Then we have the fall. Where'd God go? He's up there somewhere. We need a prophet. We need a priest. We can't see him. Then Jesus comes as we celebrate his birth at Christmas. He comes, and then what? He's right here. There he is. He's not up there anymore. He's right here. Then he dies, conquers death. He ascends into heaven. And here's my question. Where is he now? You ever really meditate on that and think about that? Because my guess would be, if I was to ask every one of you, is God everywhere? Most likely, probably every single one of you would say yes. Yes, he's everywhere. Yes. But do we really meditate on the fact, have the truth in that, that he's right? That I don't have to be concerned about watching him, that, oh, he's going out the door, I better fall. No, because he's, and if I walk out the door and I'm in the hallway, he's, and if I'm in my car, he's, and if I stop and get gas, he's hearing me complain about the prices, but he's sitting there, and I have to say forgiveness, I have to ask forgiveness for him because he's right there, he won't go away. But he's, I think what we miss is we read this about the disciples and we say, oh yeah, that's for them. You see, they experienced Christ in an incredible way. I can't experience him that way. That was 2,000 years ago. I can't, I mean, that doesn't define my Christianity. But Jesus said very clearly, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Anybody here ever do those family tree things? I know there's those, there's the ones that you pay for. What are they called? I forget that there's a certain name. Ancestry.com. Yeah, anybody here do that? Yeah, we have some, okay. I've heard a lot of stories about that, and I've heard a lot of people come to me and say, you know what, I paid my money, but I'm demanding a refund because they got it wrong. I had one person said they knew their heritage so good that they didn't know what they were talking about. They knew they were of Cherokee blood, but there was no Cherokee in their past. And so it can be eye-opening, I suppose, to do something like that. You go through your family tree and say, oh, wow, I had no idea I had an ancestor who, oh, wow, that's not good. And I had no idea I had an ancestor who did this. And, oh, my, oh, and great-grandfather actually did. Oh, you know, see, all the dirt kind of comes out and everything else and all the stuff you don't want to see. So I'm imagining that you do those ancestry things and you do your genealogy and you do the study of your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and you realize that not everybody's as perfect as you hoped or that you thought that would be. But I wonder if we could start something. And maybe they already have. I have not heard of this. If they have started, tell me afterwards and tell me that I'm wrong, that it has been started. But I would like us to do a spiritual ancestry.com. Well, what does that look like? Well, how did you find Christ? Well, I found Christ because so-and-so really invested in my life. Oh, who invested in their life? How did they find Christ? Oh, they found Christ because so-and-so invested. And they found Christ because so-and-so. And they found Christ because so. And they found Christ because so. And I can guarantee you, if we would do that and it was accurate, it would take us all the way back to Acts chapter 2. Which means that same Jesus that the disciples are saying, you are witnesses of these things and you will be witnesses, is the same Jesus the next generation experienced. The same Jesus the next generation experienced. Same Jesus the next generation experienced. And it's the same Jesus that you and I experience today. That's why this is a big deal. That's why this is a passed out, shock and awe, big deal. I experience Christ, God. I experience Jesus. Jesus revealed himself to me. Someone invested in my life so that I would be able to know who Jesus is. And now I'm walking with Jesus. And so I want to ask today, you don't have to give a verbal answer, but this is for everybody, children, youth, all ages, but I want to ask them, what is the state of the church right now? And I'm not talking about New Hope, or at least not just New Hope, I'm talking about in general. If you were to rate the church in the United States right now, what kind of a ranking would you give it? I'm seeing some shake their heads like this already. From what we understand, at least, it's not very good, is it? If at the best, it's on decline. Well, I want to show you some interesting information that I'm sure you've seen before, possibly. But here's something that I think is interesting. This actually was all compiled together from Keys for Kids Ministries, which Jen had the children read these devotionals over the summer, the contest for June, July, and August. You can win things for doing it. And they said, why are we doing this? Here's why we're doing this, right here. They said, this is why we're doing this. The biggest factor in predicting kids' spiritual health as young adults is whether they read the Bible regularly as kids. That's comes from Lifeway Research. The biggest factor. Biggest factor in predicting kids' spiritual health as young adults is whether they read the Bible regularly as kids. So parents, our children need to be reading the Bible. In 2019, 48% of Americans said they interact with the Bible infrequently, if at all, and it has minimal impact on their lives. 48% of Americans, that's from Barna. Biblical illiteracy is staggering. Since the 1970s, the percent of people who believe the Bible is only myths and fables has doubled from 13% to 26% in 2017, according to Gallup. Here's the clincher for you. Only 32% of Protestant churchgoers, oh, by the way, that's you. 32% of Protestant churchgoers say they read their Bible every day. Think about that for a moment. 32% of Protestant churchgoers say they read their Bible daily. And this is the United States. This isn't the countries that have a hard time getting it or waiting for the missionary to come and nobody's remembering them. This is here. 32%. And yet, we're the ones that have an abundance of the scriptures. There isn't one person in this place, if you needed a Bible, you couldn't get one. If nothing else, just go to your computer, get on your device, get on your phone. You can get 32%. That's not a good number. I mean, I did bad in high school, but I don't remember ever getting a 32%. I mean, I did pretty bad, too.
32%, that's pretty bad, isn't it? That's horrific. That's, something's not right. Now, I know there's a margin of error with all of these, okay? I know that for a fact that you can't say all of these are 1,000% correct. I get it. I understand that. And I know that it says daily, so maybe they just read every other day, or maybe they read once a week. Whatever. Okay, I get that. There could be caveats, there could be understandings, but just understanding this, in my mind, this kind of tells me, all of these statistics here kind of tells me why we are in the mess we are in. And how often do we ask and look at the culture and we watch the news? Anybody watch the news lately and say, what in the world has happened to our country? It's right here. Now, why is that? Well, because somewhere along the line, somebody forgot. Well, that's good for the disciples 2,000 years ago, but that's not my. See, when you forget about Jesus and you forget about his word, it makes a mess. Because left to our own, we don't know what to do, folks. We destroy things. James even tells us in the scripture, what do we do without God? We devour each other. We would become cannibals without God. That's how bad we are. That's how much in desperate need we need God. So I want all parents here, if you haven't yet, Jenna talked about it before, but if you haven't yet, please go to wordwithzach.org, and they encourage you and show you how to make sure your child reads the Bible every day. But I want to take a step off of that for wordwithzach.org. That's for the children. But I want to also say for us adults, anybody here who kind of falls into this, that large percentage that doesn't do this, I would tell you, I want you to do the same thing. And if there was ever a time, especially as an adult, we do not have an excuse. It's right now. As I said, you have the Bible available to you, but not just the Bible. You can find devotional things. You can find free devotionals right online. You can even do it by theme. You can do it by topic. You can do it by your interest. You can do it. I mean, they're doing everything possible to say, here, please, please read the Bible. And I think the biggest thing is, if we don't, things are just going to get worse. Not just in our culture, but in our own life. If we forget about, and the further that the Bible gets away from us, where we say, yeah, that's good for them, and they're witnesses, but not me, 2,000 years ago, no big deal, but if we forget about who Jesus is, and we forget about he's right here, right now. Going on another way far limb, and I apologize, but one far limb. You can cut it off if you want, but when we forget about this, I just wonder how we can claim that we're Christian. Isn't that the definition of Christianity? Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for everything that you mean to us. And God, some of us today may need to say we're sorry. Some of us today may need to say forgive us because we have not continued to experience you in the way we should because we've forgotten where you were. We've thought you were just somebody who lived 2,000 years ago. We thought you had nothing to do with us, and we put your word on our shelf, and we just stopped looking at it, stopped reading it, and that's what the pastor does, or that's what the priest does, or that's what the prophet does, and we've forgotten about the fact that you are right here. Jesus, could you right now, as we know you are faithful to do, could you reveal yourself to each person here in a way they have never seen you before? Lord, could you speak to every person right now in a way they've never heard you speak before? Lord, whoever might be here today who thinks that you're distant, that you're far off somewhere and they can't touch you and they need a priest or a prophet, I pray you would just reveal that. Reveal yourself to them right now and reveal the fact that you're sitting right beside them. And Lord, put a hunger in each of our hearts today for more of you, more of your word, more of your scripture to guide us in our life. Forgive us, Lord, for all the times we've made decisions without going to your word. All the times that we've went to others instead of your word. All the times we went to other resources and books that we thought were helpful when your word was there the whole time to teach us. And this isn't just the culture that we're concerned about, God. We're concerned about our families. We're concerned about ourselves. We don't want to fall into that trap, Jesus, of being that cold church in Laodicea that doesn't realize how bad they are because they've forgotten so much about you. We want to be connected with you the same way Adam and Eve were connected with you, the same way the disciples, the apostles were connected with you. We want to see 3,000 people get saved in one day. We want to see that perfect church where everybody surrenders so for the purpose of the gospel. That's what all this is about. Show us, Lord, what this all means. While they're playing, I just want to ask if anybody here would want to come forward today and pray. You can pray here on the steps. You can pray on the seats. Anybody here at all that would just want to say, Jesus, I want to draw closer to you. Jesus, I need to draw closer to you. Jesus, I've forgotten about this or that, or I'm not in your word the way I should. I was at one point, but I'm not now. Or I forgot. You just seem so distant anymore, Jesus, and I just need you to speak truth into this situation. Is anybody here like that would just want to come forward and pray? And we'll wait for you, and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you because we know that this is the most important thing. Don't leave here today if you know you should respond and say, Jesus, I need a touch from you today. You can come right now as they play. We'll wait for you.